welcome to Advisor Talk with Frank LaRosa. Brought to you by Elite Consulting Partners, it's the only podcast offering unfiltered guidance and direct advice for all things concerning financial advisors, RIAs, and the practitioners in the wealth management business. Learn more and subscribe today at eliteconsultingpartners.com/podcast. And now, here's your host, Frank LaRosa.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Advisor Talk with Frank LaRosa. I am your host and here once again with my co-host, Stacey Frank, Executive Vice President of Elite Consulting Partners. How you doing, Stacey?
I'm great.
That's
Hello,
with
everyone.
An E, by the way.
C-E-Y, right. Right. That's my tagline, Stacey with an E. E-Y.
Awesome.
Happy to be back. I thought maybe we would take this podcast in a different structure than what we normally do.
We're going to go in a little different direction today. So for those of you listening, let's first welcome and thank everybody. So for those of you listening that have been listening and the great comments and everything, we thank you. For those new to the show, thank you again. And if you're listening to this, don't forget to check us out on our YouTube video, YouTube channel, Advisor Talk with Frank LaRosa. And don't ever forget to check out my Instagram account, which is franklarosa.elite, which is really an elite Instagram account, but it's all one of the same.
Lots of great content.
I think we're up to 190,000 followers.
Awesome.
Which is awesome. No pressure to produce content, but but today we're going to do something a little bit different. Stacey has a surprise question for me.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what she's going to be asking me, but she's got a grin on her face. So we'll see how this goes.
Okay. So no, this is obviously going to be relevant to our advisor audience so that for those listeners that are experiencing what I think it will be an important topic, you'll get a lot out of this. But I figured I wanted Frank to off the cuff describe his experiences without being scripted and just go from the gut.
When am I ever scripted?
You're not scripted.
I don't work well off a script.
No. So this will be good. But in all seriousness, many of the consultants here at our firm and around the country, if you're working with financial advisors, we are seeing so much acquisition in the independent space or the independent landscape. That's my word of the day, landscape. And we are seeing that it's affecting, A, the number of firms and choices that advisors have, right? But we also see some challenges because decisions or acquisitions are being made for them. Something that's beyond the control of the business owner. And when you're an independent advisor, you own your business and a decision is being made for your practice. So my question to you on this topic, because I think it's affecting everybody, advisors, consultants, firms, what do you say to an advisor that's calling us and basically feeling like they're losing control?
Mm-hmm.
A decision is being made for their business. And what if they don't want to do it? What's some of the best ways that they can stay connected with their leadership and gain the most amount of support that they've been accustomed to? So go.
Yeah. Okay.
How's that?
Yeah, there have definitely been some acquisitions. There always are acquisitions. And it sort of, I think it's been a little bit, the last half of the year and the first half of this year, it's been maybe a little bit more than in the past. But I do think that there are smaller firms being gobbled up by larger institutions, primarily independent broker-dealers and RIAs, right? So we'll just, for the conversation here, we'll just lump everybody together, right? RIAs, hybrid RIAs, large institutional firms. And what I do feel like is the decision is being made for you on where you're going to work and where you're going to hang your shingle and the service model that you now need to find acceptable, where you may not be comfortable because you probably built a business, a successful business, at a smaller firm where your interaction with the CEO and the compliance folks, and maybe there was only 3 or 4 or 5 compliance folks, so you knew them personally.
Right.
They knew you personally. They knew your family. You probably hung out at conferences and events and all this stuff, which makes you operate your business more fluid, easier to run, less friction, right? Because they know your practice. Candidly, they probably know your clients,
right?
Or at least your important clients. All of those things are efficiencies that you may not realize you have in your practice that you might lose I'm not saying that you're going to lose. Just because you go to a bigger firm doesn't mean you're going to lose efficiencies. Sometimes you can get better technology or whatever. But don't assume just because you're going to a bigger firm that things are going to be all rosy and, you know, butterflies, or as we say, rainbows, butterflies, and unicorns.
Right.
You're going to lose efficiencies. And what we have found, and what I think a lot of advisors don't realize, is there are a lot of great smaller firms still out there, right? Like great firms. But they're not, you know, I don't know, $100 billion and $50 billion. You know, we're talking about firms with $10 billion, $8 billion, you know,
they're
or
not
even
small
a little
potatoes,
less.
Not mom and pop shop firms,
right.
Firms that have had longevity and history, been around for 30, 40 years.
Right. Good compliance record. They're employee owned, right? There's ESOPs in place and different things like that. And so I feel like, candidly, and we're going to do another episode after this one. So you want to stay tuned, because this one's going to be about effort and
work ethic.
Yeah, work ethic.
The W word.
Or lack thereof. and I feel like there are some advisors that make the decision to just go along with it because they think it's easy.
Well, it's the path of least resistance.
Right.
You know, maybe there's some retention money.
Okay. So there's retention money, and it might be easier. But nothing good in life ever comes easy. So just because it's easy doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. Just because they throw some coin at you doesn't mean it's the right firm, because they might throw some money at you in a transition. But if your business suffers over a period of time because you can't grow it the way you want, your staff becomes emotionally strained because they're dealing with compliance issues, was the money really worth it? Right. If they give you 20-30% upfront to stay, or as a retention after taxes, and you know, you maybe have to pay out some of your staff because you're going to give some to them, otherwise they're going to leave. Like, is it really life changing dollars if you have a successful practice? It's probably not. You know, they're paying you for the inconvenience. Right. They're basically buying your silence. Right.
Exactly. Buying your buy-in.
Yeah, they're buying your buy-in. And what we're trying to tell people is, don't just go blindly into that direction. You know, use it as an opportunity, for those of you that follow my Instagram, you know, I believe wholeheartedly in everything happens for a reason, everything in life. And even some tragic things sometimes you can say, well, why did that happen? Well, we'll see. God has a plan. You never know what the real reason is. And so when you're put in a position that somebody else made for you to reaffiliate, there's always going to be some level of headache and paperwork, regardless of what they say. Even a tape-to-tape transfer, there's still some paperwork. Mm-hmm.
And retraining of your staff.
And
retraining
and all that stuff, right? You should be using that as an opportunity to say, I wonder at this point if we should pick our heads up and see what the landscape looks like outside of that firm. And what I really find is the biggest mistake that advisors make, because some advisors do that, right?
Yeah, sure.
But they then always compare it to, well, I'm going to get, you know, this much money just to stay, right? I will say that's the easy way out, but it doesn't always mean it's the right way.
Right, that's the short-term path of least resistance.
It's a Band-Aid.
Solution.
Right.
Is that, because you have to think about when a firm is acquiring your business, not by your choice, that might feel good today and be the least level of disruption, but you have to think about your firm 3, 4, 10 years from now, maybe as you're considering continuity and succession planning. Can that firm that's taking over my practice, not by my choice, really the right place? At least do that due diligence and that analysis of all the different options.
But put the money aside, right?
Money
put
aside.
The retention money aside, because that's there to cloud some of your judgment. You really have to think about it as an opportunity. So for me, whenever I have situations that I have to deal with, whether it's a business or in my personal life, I always look at it like, I wonder what the opportunity is here, right? I wonder what's going to come out of this that might not have come out of this, or I might not have done had I not been forced to do something, right? And a lot of times, and we've worked with some of these clients where they've used the opportunity that their firm was being bought out, and the owners of the firm make a lot of money, right? Because they're getting way more money than the advisors are getting on the retention. So this is where you have to be selfish, right? And you have to say, what's in it for me? How is this better for my clients? How is this better for my practice? How is it better for me, right? I always tell people, when you're deciding to make a move, and this is make a move, or in this situation, go along with the herd, you have to answer three questions, and it has to be yes to all three of these. And the number one question is this new firm going to be better for my clients? That's number one. Number two is this new firm going to be better for my business? Is my business going to be better off at the new firm than where I am? And that encompasses a lot of different things, right? And then number three, am I going to be better off at the new firm versus my current firm? And you have to answer yes to all three of those things. If you can't answer yes, then you should not do it. And this is the same thing that applies if you're at, I'm not picking anybody, but if you're a Morgan Stanley advisor and you're thinking about leaving, you have to answer the same, and you're deciding on UBS, right? Is UBS better than the firm I'm at? You have to go through the same analogy. I've used that for 30 years I've been in this business, and it's always held true. Because what I've seen is an advisor makes a move, and on one of those, the answer was no, and they did it anyway. It never really went well for the advisor in one of those categories.
They didn't go with their gut.
It just suffered, right?
They didn't go with their research.
And so these are opportunities that you have to look at and just be unemotional about it, right? Unemotional, be willing to put a little bit of work in, talk to some firms, new firms, understand what you loved about your current firm, right? What you loved about it. Because those are the things that probably drove you to be successful. And it could be an energy thing. It could be a cultural thing. It could be I used to love that the CEO, would call me on my birthday or.
Yeah, had that situation as we speak with one of the firms that was doing some acquisitions and some of the support was going by the wayside. And some of the leadership at one of the smaller affiliate firms was leaving. And this advisor kept saying to me, the CEO, the president of our firm, has my cell phone. I'm a leading producer, and I'm nervous that when I want something done, he helps me do it. So that's not always going to be the case if you're being forced to go somewhere that is not of your choice. So you want to check those boxes.
I was just talking to an advisor, no joke, like an hour ago, right out here in the
lobby. Yeah, it's coming at us in droves. Right?
And he moved to a firm, smaller firm, and the money that he was supposed to get was supposed to come on a certain day, and he was promised, hey, it's going to come on a Wednesday, and the money didn't come in. He called the CEO of the firm, he's a very nice guy, and said, hey, look, I'm sorry to call you, but like the money didn't hit today. You said it was supposed to hit, just plan on some things, whatever. He's like, no problem. I'll take care of it. And within a half an hour, the money was wired into his account.
Wow.
Right?
That matters. Those little things matter.
That stuff matters because that advisor will remember that, right? That's what creates loyalty. And that's why you probably are loyal to the firm that you've been at for 15 or 20 years because of those little things. And you have to figure out, are those things going to go away, right? And when they say, oh no, it's still—
Nothing will change,
mm-hmm. right? So then can I have the CEO's cell phone number? Right?
Now you're at a firm of, 40,000 advisors. So that will change.
It's going to change.
That will change. So one of the things that I wanted to challenge you on also, here comes another question.
Oh, okay.
Twofer. When advisors call us or whatever consultant and their firm's being acquired, what's your suggestion to them about how to achieve the support that they've grown accustomed to? Just go with the masses or... What are some suggestions? What are you saying to your advisors that you talk to?
Yeah, I think that, you have to, number one, you have to have written processes in place that you use in your service model, right? I did a recording this morning about my trip to the dentist's office the other day. And the process that they have a system that they go through, and it's clockwork.
At the dentist. Okay.
Business is a business. It doesn't matter whether you're selling widgets or whatever.
Dentistry
or, yeah, right. dealing with my mouth, which is fine, by the way, no cavities. Thank you very much.
Good job. Good job.
Anyway, so, you know, you, in order to deal with that and answer that question, you have to know what makes your business special. You have to know what are the things that you like about your business and what separates you from everybody else on the server side, the compliance side, operationally. So like you have to do a pros and cons. Well, I have a better way to look at it. It's like watching game film, right? Like you have to look at your business and your practice as like game film. What did we do well? What didn't we do well? And why? What was our team? What plays did we call on that, on, you know, on that set of downs? I was a youth football coach, right? Whatever. But be honest with you, I would say game film doesn't lie, right? Like if you missed a block, you missed a block and you'll see it on game film. And so you have to look at your practice and game film it. What are those really good things that make your business special? What are those things that you got from your firm that—
Before the acquisition, before the pre-acquisition.
Pre-acquisition. Why did you stay at your firm for so long, right? Why, I'm sure you as an individual advisor got calls from people like us, right? But you chose not to take those phone calls because you didn't want to leave. Well, now you're leaving whether you like it or not, right? And you're being moved to another firm. So why didn't you want to leave? And then you have to ask those questions. And I think too many advisors get focused on the questions that they ask the new firm are, well, what's the deal? What's the transition?
What's the repapering?
You know, and do I have to repaper, right? But they don't get into the other stuff. They don't get into the exploratory process that we might take someone through that's doing a traditional move where they're going to talk to the trust department. They're going to talk to the technology people. They're going to do home office visits. They're going to do the proper due diligence, which during an acquisition, I think is brushed over because, you know.
Well, there's no time.
They say, well, you don't have anything to do. It's easy. It's, you know, there's no repapering. Don't worry about it. And I think that's a mistake. That's a colossal mistake. You have to say, okay, XYZ firm, you're buying my firm. I'm going to treat you as if I wasn't leaving my firm, right? And I was thinking about it and I'm doing my due diligence. So here are the list of questions that I want to see. Here's a technology demo. These are the people I want to talk to. And ask tough questions because there's no downside, right? You're going there no matter what. So you might as well ask the tough questions.
And this is, might be sound a little bit granular, but areas of concern that, well, product areas of concern that we hear about is alternatives, annuities.
Yeah.
Because those product categories at one firm may or may not be the same in how they handle it and support it at another international business. Those are the three that come to my mind, right, when I'm talking to somebody. So maybe touch on that.
Yeah,
too.
So when we do a traditional move, we're going to do a practice analysis and a mapping, which is what we call a mapping, right? So they're going to take your book and map it to the new firm, which means, okay, do you have the same money managers, annuity carriers? Within the annuities, are the compensation structures the same, right? People don't understand that an annuity company may pay one firm differently than the other firm, right? And so you have to do the same due diligence. And I think that's where advisors are missing the boat.
They might not know to ask.
That's my point.
They sometimes don't know to ask.
Right. They don't know to ask because self-serving. They're not working with someone like us, where if they were moving firms on their own, on their own decision, with their own decision, whether they reach out to us, we reach out to them, but they're ready to leave, we're gonna jockey them through the process. And we're gonna ask the questions that we know to ask that you may not know to ask. If you're going through an acquisition and you're not working with someone like us, you don't know what you don't know. And so you have to try to treat it as pessimistically optimistic, right? Have a pessimistically optimistic point of view. Like, this sounds great, but, you know, I know you said this, but be challenging to them. Make them work for it, right?
You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your staff that's used to doing business a certain way, you know, utilizing technology a certain way. How will that affect their daily lives?
Right.
Because they're the ones that are typically the backbone of your business anyway.
Right. So listen, the message here is there's a lot of acquisitions. And we're not going to get into that. We'll do a whole nother topic on how that's going to change the landscape. the haves and the have-nots, that kind of thing. But the reality is there are a lot of great small firms out there, you know, that you don't have to accept what's happening to you, the decision that was made for you. You know, seek the counsel of someone like us. There are firms like ours out there that are just as good. Well, maybe not just as good, but maybe we're the best. But there's some some good firms out there, right? There's some good firms out there. I have some friends that run other firms. They're great guys. So and gals. But seek the counsel, right? Don't just lay down and just sort of take it.
Right. You own your business. You are an independent practitioner because you signed up to have the choice and the open architecture and the leverage. Don't let any of that be decided for you.
Yeah, look, and the beauty of, and again, this is pretty much targeted at independent advisors, you own the clients. So it's not like you're going to lose your clients.
Right.
And so there's some, if you were to make a move, is there more work to do by making a traditional move than going via tape to tape, which means all the accounts move over at once? Your clients get a 30-day negative consent letter, but there's still some paperwork that has to be done because you're at a new broker dealer. So there's still some legal documents that have to be changed. But the reality is, if you make a move to a firm that you want, you're in the driver's seat. You have to do a little bit more work, but you're probably going to end up in a better position. Maybe you're going to streamline and get rid of paperwork in your office that you don't need anymore, right? Because everything now, when you were opening accounts years ago, was all paper-based. Right now, it's DocuSign, and it's all in you know, virtual. So maybe this transition is an opportunity for you to clean up your practice to make it more efficient. Because if you want to go sell your business one day, those are the kinds of things that they're going to look at in the value of your practice. Is it run well? Is it managed well? Is it offices full of boxes of paper and files? And you know that stuff wigs buyers out. So you have to look at this as an opportunity to set things up the way maybe you want for the next evolution of your business. Don't just lay down. There are a lot of great firms out there that have great custodians. They don't have to be self-clearing. Not that I'm picking on anybody that's self-clearing. But there are a lot of great firms that work with Pershing, that work with Fidelity and on the RIA side, Schwab. And so there are opportunities.
Just know what they are. Right. I think that's the message.
Just know what they are
and consult with somebody that can help you ask the right questions. And this is not a ding on the acquiring firms.
Yeah, not at all.
Because they're amazing firms for so many reasons. But it doesn't mean that it's right for every single advisor that's being affected by it.
Right.
That's all.
And the biggest thing that you should do, if you're in this position, you have questions, is you should call Stacy. What's your number?
856-816-6322. And my email, stacy@eliteconsultingpartners.com. Tagline, don't forget the E.
Right. And obviously you can call me at frank@eliteconsultingpartners.com, 856-316-4651. And don't forget my Instagram account, which is franklarosa.elite. Like and subscribe to our podcast. Go to our YouTube channel. Send us questions. All of these topics that we do here are based on conversations we're having, like literally an hour ago.
Yeah, every day. Right? Every day this topic is coming at us. So good job on impromptu.
Did I handle this okay?
We'll keep the impromptu series of Advisor Talk.
Right, exactly. So, all right, listen. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Advisor Talk with Frank LaRosa. If you're looking for more advice or solutions on any topics in the financial services industry, or you just want to subscribe to our podcast, head on over to eliteconsultingpartners.com/podcasts.